Chapter 20. The immense, curved grandeur of the planet Armag was spread out below, its intricate patchwork of land masses and oceans obscured here and there by complex weather systems, pushing, streaming, and gyring in perpetual combinations. At that particular moment, the drone Ren-6 shimmer ship was in a stable orbit and passing directly over an island archipelago a few hundred miles east of the continent where Armag City was located. Ren-6 might have spared the magnificent spectacle a glance were he not at that moment keeping his senses on the ship's effectuator arms as they lashed and flailed at him with their grab tool tips. He himself was hanging safely off the small ship's stern, connected by 2 meters of tether, improvised from a spool of multi-purpose cable retrieved from the materials locker. Then the arms went limp and drifted, which told him that the 4-minute cycle was now in its abeyance phase. He only had 2 minutes to get back inside the construct craft, check on the human female, run another test or two, then be back outside before the assimilation phase started up again. Letting the tether spool run, he used his own manipulators to clamber swiftly around the bulbous hull to the gaping hatch. The impermeable containment force field was still in place, so the field generation systems were still unsubverted. Sensors fixed near the hatch tracked his approach, and the field deformed around the drone's casing, allowing him to enter the small compartment. The female human, who called herself Dervler, sat at the tiny fold-down table, legs akimbo, one arm folded against her chest, the other raised and laid flat against the system and conduit panelling held in place by the strange ribbed tendons that had grown out of her flesh. Ren-6 could see that the outgrowths were working their way up the arm and would soon start protruding from her shoulder. Her head lolled forward, and some saliva drooled from her mouth. Glancing up, she saw the drone approach and smiled weakly. "Yes, my little robot friend." Her speech came out hoarse and slurred. "Got any ideas yet? What's that bastard done to me?" Aware that time was running out, Ren-6 directed a coded light pulse at the bioscanner he had epoxied to an overhead panel rib 24 cycles ago and got an encrypted light burst of data in response. "Still working on the problem, Devler," he said. "As soon as I figure this out, you'll be the first to know." 8 seconds left. Dervler opened her mouth as if to speak. Something glinted down in her throat, and her head slumped forward again. Ren-6 was already heading for the hatch, propelled by his own microjets. He could actually feel the assimilation phase kick in, like a palpable wave of voracity rushing after him as he plunged through the containment field. The tether spool unreeled to its maximum as his inertia carried him outwards, then round towards the stern. He braked with the microjets and reeled in the tether, careful to stay out of range of the effectuator arms which struck and strained towards him with eager, mindless hunger. Mindless, but not indiscriminate. During her time aboard the Shuskar vessel, the human had clearly been infected with some kind of highly advanced nanovirus, which was in the process of rewriting her body from the nervous system out. Except that the process had now reached an intermediate stage beyond which it could not progress, stuck in a holding pattern where it alternated between vigorous grasping and still dormancy. Clearly the nanovirus was modifying the human, converting her into a host for some kind of biomech parasite, and it seemed that Ren-6's electromagnetic emissions from the powered systems of his shell qualified him as a viable match. So, not indiscriminate, but still wide of the mark. The steady accumulation of data and his cogitations and reflections sparked off waves of data sweeps in his own core memories. Eventually, flagging up a reference to an archived document which he had acquired a long time ago. Close study might well set more speculation in motion, but there was no time for that right now. All resources had to be devoted to finding a way to neutralize the nanovirus without killing the human. And even killing her on purpose might not work. For some of these nanoviruses, death of the host was just another minor obstacle. Hanging off the stern of the ship, of his own ship, Rensik went over the bioscanner data, complete with latest update, and saw what he had seen before. Steady growth in complexity and connectivity. There had been none of this at the start. Soon after their escape from the Shuskar ship, not until Rensik began examining the human with a variety of probes and scanners. Initially, he had speculated that one of his instruments had emitted some tiny blip of energy which had triggered the nanovirus to alter its state, but he was less sure of that now. Realizing that all the data gathering had been largely fruitless, he decided to instigate a reappraisal of the entire episode, this time taking it back to his first encounter with the woman aboard the Shuskar ship. He re-ran the visual record, from when he entered the detention chamber with the transparent cells to when he left, bearing the insensible human in his gripping fields. And the answer was there, clear and plain to see. The nanovirus was not triggered by Rensik's instrumentation, but by the act of removing the female human from her confinement. She had not been connected to any wires or intravenous tubing, so there must have been a localized suppression field. And when he removed her from its influence, the virus awoke and began proliferating. On this basis, the drone called up the bioscanner data again, searching for evidence of change in energy states or some kind of electrosynaptic wave with a fixed frequency. There was one. Buried beneath other peripheral nervous system readings, and yes, it had a 4-minute active-inactive cycle. Now, suppressing the nanovirus would require a counterfield attuned and calibrated to precisely negate the electrosynaptic wave pattern that was carrying its preset commands. The bioscanner could be adapted, its output parameters modified, to emit just such a suppressing counterfield. When the next abeyance phase of the cycle took effect, Rensik swiftly swooped over to the gaping hatch and eased through the containment field. The female human, Dervla, was watching as he entered, eyes glazed, her features drawn and blotchy. As the drone commenced unmounting the bioscanner, he heard her mumble something.
"Careful of the gun. Watch his gun watching you."
"Don't worry, Dervla," he said. "I'll soon have that virus turned off. Then you and I can have a proper chat."
With the bioscanner in one of his effectuator grabs, he glided out of the hatch and let inertia and the tether carry him back round to the stern. He accessed the bioscanner's main function set and began recalibrating the probe fields to match the frequency of the nanovirus's synaptic wave with a mirror version that would cancel it out. It took only moments for the drone to complete the retasking, but another 2 minutes to conduct 3 data model test runs, which was far from ideal, but better than nothing. A few meters away, the Shimmer ship's external effectuator arms continued their flailing and lashing. Then, suddenly, they were lifeless as the abeyance phase began, and Rensik launched himself over the curve of the little ship towards the hatch. Once through the containment field, he reaffixed the bioscanner to the mounting pad which he had left behind. The human female was slumped over the tiny table, insensible while her arms remained pinned to the nearby panelling. For a brief moment, he toyed with the idea of staying in the compartment to witness how the negating fields might affect her. But he thought better of it, triggered the bioscanner with a burst command, then left via the hatch. This time, he let the tether unspool to its full length without using his microjets to swing sternwards. He hung there, suspended over the planet Armag, aware of all the other worlds of the war cage, this gigantic engineering feat which looked like so many bright jewels caught in an invisible web. And below, on the planet's surface, something bright bloomed. His onboard sensors had their restrictions, but they were still able to pick up the presence of a large vessel hovering in the lower atmosphere, firing missile volleys at ground targets. A survey summary placed the target zone very close to where he had last seen Lieutenant Brock. Once he was back in control of the shimmer ship, he would unlock the encrypted standbys, reactivate the comms system, and quickly make contact with her. He switched his receptor cams from the planet back to the shimmer ship, and there, beyond it, away in the far distance, was something. To the naked eye of some sweaty organic, it would have been no more than a speck, a distant mote. But Renzik's lenses saw further and deeper, reeling in the intervening gulf, bringing it closer, revealing its details sharp and distinct. Without any shadow of doubt, it was the Shuskar flagship, the vessel from which he had rescued the human woman, and it was heading straight towards their position. Meanwhile, inside the shimmer ship, the human female was sitting upright and trying to free her arm from the panelling. So he decided to see what he could learn from her while bringing the shimmer ship's drive back online. He glided over to the hatch, slipped through the containment field, and began issuing silent subcast commands to the initializer systems.
"Greeting, Dervla," he began. "I am Renzik Estemil, senior tactical drone in the auxiliary cohorts of the construct. Empire."
"Well, when one has to improvise a background on the fly, do so with gusto.
And I rescued you from a ship whose owners call themselves the Shuskar."
She glared at him and, with an angry tug, freed her arm from the panelling with a tearing of the grotesque fibrous tendrils. She gasped with pain, stared in horror at the blood trickling from the severed tendrils, winced and cradled the arm with her other hand.
"What did he do to me?"
She glanced at Renzik.
"What about my friend, Wynne? There was a friend of mine in the other glass cage."
"Sorry, but there was no other human in that lab,"
Renzik said carefully, deciding not to mention the bizarre fetus-like things he had seen clustered on the couch inside the transparent cylinder.
"You have been delirious since the rescue, and you said something strange about your captor. Careful of his gun, and watch his gun watching you. What does this mean?"
A haunted look came into the human's eyes as she heard her own words repeated back to her. With halting words that grew steadily more fluent, she related how she and the other members of a trader crew became caught up in the intrigues of the war cage's conflict. How she and her friend were captured, then handed over to the Shuskar, and what happened when they met the Shuskar leader, Gunlord Exrahald. As Renzik listened, the shimmer ship was awakening around them. All the systems he had powered down when the nanovirus made its first move to take control through Dervla were coming online, with the sensors high up the priority rankings. Interacting with the sensor array, he found that the Shuskar flagship had put on velocity and would be close enough for its low-grade beams and missiles to make hits in less than 38 seconds, whereas the shimmer ship's thrust drive would be ready in 29. The human female was still talking and swearing at him, her suppressed grief at what she had to know was the truth about her friend breaking out in anger. As she talked, Renzik was continually cross-referencing with his deep archive, prompted by her description of the parasitic biomechanical weapon to which Exrahold was joined. As a technology, it hinted at an entire structure of development wildly at variance with that on show across what he had thus far seen of the war cage. The data sweep came back with barely a handful of results, which satisfied a strict set of criteria. 3 myth fragments. each from a post-techno-collapse civilization, and a short passage from the Vajalin Codex, a notorious document of dubious provenance, claiming to be a study of the Zaal Imperium, a vast galaxy-spanning hegemony which disintegrated over a million years ago. Then, the ready alert from the thrust drive flashed up in his awareness. His preset commands took effect, the hatch closed through the containment field, which then vanished, just as the shimmer ship's thrusters flared into life. There was a brief inertial lurch before the dampener field cut in. Then the velocity began to ramp up.
"That's us underway, Dervla," Rensik said. "Soon we'll be safely away and hidden from their..."
The human female had been tilting her head slightly, as if listening to something. Then she sat bolt upright and shot a look of stark terror at the drone.
"I can hear it. It's coming for me. I can hear it in my head."
But the sensors were detecting nothing. No threats, no coherent signals. In fact, nothing from the Shuskar vessel but a halo of white noise. Without warning, something brutal engulfed the shimmer ship, sending interference screeching across every sensor and input. The human female cried out and slumped over the table, burying her head in her arms. The feed from one surviving hull receptor showed a long, wavering tentacle of dazzling electroplasmic energy which split into webs and jagged tendrils that lashed and stabbed at the ship. The safeties had activated, isolating the main systems, powering down the thrusters.
"Intruder, you must... you will face judgment."
The human female, Dervla, was sitting up again, staring at the drone with eyes that blazed an effulgent blue.
"Great," thought Rensik. "Some alien thugmaster has managed to bypass the ship's shields and data walls, just so it can use this poor defenseless puppet to mouth egomaniacal threats at me."
"You sweaty organics are all the same," he said. "A whiff of absolute power, some biomech scraps that escape the slop-out bins of a failed empire, and a big showy lightning machine, and you're suddenly convinced that it's all for the taking. Well, sorry to pop your colossal vanity bubble, but I think that you will find that there's always someone bigger and nastier waiting just around the next corner."
"Such extravagant fury for one so impotent."
The woman Dervla's face muscles twisted, the lips drawing back to bare the teeth in an awful parody of a grin.
"Let us ensure that you remain so."
Another surge of that electroplasmic energy washed over the shimmer ship, and Rensik saw it fill the air around the human with a shimmering mesh of thread-like tendrils. Clusters of them stretched out in all directions, as did one that quivered towards the drone, extending with serpentine movements. And when they at last touched his outer casing, everything stopped and started again. Internal regulators told him that 42 minutes 11 seconds had elapsed, and his auto-defences indicated that for the last 10 minutes he had been stationary. Vid sensors showed that he was lying inside a rectangular box with transparent sides and lid. Also, his suspensor and thrust systems were unable to respond. Despite their powered status and accepting commands, they could not activate their functions. A very specific kind of suppression field was clearly operating nearby. Rensik decided to examine his surroundings. A large grey crate was blocking the view on one side, but from the gloom and the repetitive tile patterns on the deck, he surmised that he was back on board the Shuskar flagship.
"Wonderful! Another chance to sample the delights of this interplanetary dungeon."
There was movement in the shadows. A cloaked, hooded figure leaned in, fixed a T-shaped handle to the top of Rensik's box, then lifted it up and away.
Suddenly, he could see that he was in a large, gloomy hold. After being carried for a few paces, Rensik was set down on a metre-high plinth right next to a lifeless, sprawled corpse. A short distance beyond it was the low-profile construct shimmer ship, sitting illuminated by an overhead spot lamp. The entry hatch was round the other side, where a couple of hooded figures stood just visible over the small vessel. Rensik turned his attention to the body. From previously gathered data, it looked like a Shuskar, only wrinkled and skinny, especially its left arm, which looked strangely malformed and emaciated. Curious grooves in the grey flesh curved up to and around the neck, up the side of the face, to a bloody hole in the temple. The hooded attendants shifted position as a figure stepped out of the shimmer ship, and together they skirted the vessel and strode towards Rensik. Before she came fully into view, the drone knew who it would be. The parasitic biomech was now bonded to the human female's left arm and its spine tail wound from shoulder to neck to head.
"Your ship defends itself," it said with Dervla's voice.
"That is most gratifying to hear."
A weird leer crept across the face.
"There are five of us, impotent machine. We have lived in many beings for many, many centuries and outlived them all. We are mighty and intend to remain so."
The human female leaned forward, placed her hands on the transparent box, then brought her face up close. The eyes were dead.
"You will tell me everything."
"Doubt that."
"Yes, everything. Not long after we returned to the Shuskar Citadel world, all the loot of 1,000 worlds lies there, including devices capable of interrogating other devices."
"I am not a device."
"But we have you."
The thing controlling the human made her grin horribly. "And we can be very persistent."
"Yeah, yeah. You're scary and unpredictable. What do you do when you're bored? Pull the legs off your servants for laughs?"
"Oh, we tired of that millennia ago. You know, machine, you were right. It really is all for the taking, and most glorious of all, after more than 100,000 years, we are yet to encounter anyone bigger and nastier than us."